Good morning, LifePoint. Go ahead and grab a seat. We are so glad that you're here to worship with us today. And if you are online, anywhere around the world, in the room, thank you for being here. We've got a special service planned for you. We'll get into that in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to ask you, if you will please let us know that you are here. You can do that online by filling out, or by texting, the word connect to the number on the screen. And that will let us know you're here. And do the same thing if you're in the room, or you can fill out one of those old-fashioned hard copy cards that's in the pockets of some of those seats in front of you, okay? And so either way, we want to know you're here. We want you to become a part of our family, and we're glad that you are visiting with us. And if you've been here for the first time, or if you've been here for a year and hadn't filled that one, please do so and let us know that you're here today, okay? Now, also, we want you to continue to tithe and to give. Today, we're going to do a Thanksgiving service, and you're going to be able to see some of the things that your generosity covers, and some of the things that through tithing, the gospel goes out all around the world. And so we want to ask you to continue to be faithful with your generosity and tithes. And you can do that by the old-fashioned way. You can give it in the boxes as you leave. If you're in the room, you can bring it in, you can mail it in, or you can do it online. If you'll go to our website, you can always find out any information about anything you want. But they'll tell you how to tithe online. You can tithe with our app on your phone, or you can text to tithe. However you do it, please just be faithful and continue to give your tithes and your offerings. So thank you for being here today. I want to give you one announcement. Here it is. Travis has got my book right here, and we have these books, and they are an Advent guide. They are a great resource for you and your family. Our staff wrote this. And folks, I am so proud of this, and I didn't write any of it. You'll be able to see when you read it that it is incredible resource. And what it has in it, it has a weekly devotion, a weekly time for you to be with, to get your family together, and to go through an activity that will help them prepare for Christmas. Okay, so it has that. It has in the back of it, it has weekly or daily devotions, daily meditations. Passages that you can read starting on November the 28th through December the 25th, which is the Advent season that leads you right up to Christmas. And it also has songs. It has some QR codes in it. It has hymns. We also want you to bring this. We're having a hymn sing, Christmas hymn sing. Rather than doing like Christmas at Life Point, like we've done in the past, we're doing a Christmas hymn sing Saturday, November the 4th, and we want you to be here. You can bring this with you. It's got the hymns in it, but it also, if you don't worry about it. If you forget it, they're going to be on the screen, but we want you to be a part of that and bring this book with you. It's a great resource for you to have for the rest of your life, really. You can use this each and every Christmas. We want you to do that. That's why it's published the way it is. And so our team did a great job. Pick one of these up, but get one per family, if you will. Get one per family, and rather than one per person, because you're going to do it as a family, and you can use those devotions or the meditations. Everybody can see those. You can also get it online. It's a digital copy on our website, okay? So, but please take advantage of that. Pick it up today, one per family, because it will start Friday, okay? It'll start the Friday after Thanksgiving on the 28th. And so you want to go ahead and pick that up today and have that. It's a digital copy as well. Get it, all right? And God bless you. Now, today, we're doing a little different service, right? Typically, our band, our worship pastor, they come out. Travis, Timmy Toppe, these guys, they come out and they'll lead us to declare the goodness of God in song. Biblically, we're commanded to sing and to join together. We don't just do it as filler. It is a biblical mandate, and it's a way that we sing about God. We sing to God. We admonish one another as the church. We do that every week, and then we preach. Well, we're not going to do that today. What we're going to do is we're going to sort of mix it up all the way around, because we want to do a Thanksgiving service. We just want to thank God for what he's doing here at Life Point Church. That's what we want to do today. You know, that's what you're going to do Thursday, right? I mean, Rudyard Kipling, maybe you've read some of his books. Maybe you did and you didn't even know it. He wrote books like How the Leopard Got His Spots and Captain Courageous and The Jungle Book. Well, his writings not only made him famous, but they made him rich. It was estimated that in the early 1900s, his writings earned him $100 per word. Now that's pretty rich. That's pretty wealthy. So one time, a reporter walked up to Kipling, handed him a $100 bill, and said, "Mr. Kipling, here's a $100 bill. Now give me one of your $100 words." And Kipling looked at the $100 bill, wadded up, put it in his pocket, and said, thanks, right? And so thanks is a valuable word. It is a very valuable word. It's a small word, but it's a valuable and powerful word. It's so valuable because if we allow thanksgiving to saturate our mind, it changes our perspective about everything. That's why thanksgiving and the word thanks or thanksgiving was such a go-to word for the biblical authors. I mean, over and over, they mentioned the word thanks or thanksgiving. Let me read just a sampling of some of these passages. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord, the thanks due to his righteousness. Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 30:4, sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Isaiah 12:4, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always and for everything to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Man, these are a sampling. It is all over scripture. Thanks, thanksgiving. It's on the minds of the authors of the Bible because it changes our perspective about everything we have. This Thursday, man, you're going to get together around your table and you're going to probably eat yourself into a coma, right? And before you cram that sweet potato casserole that I love into your mouth, and before you start gorging on turkey and dressing and all those things, you're probably going to pause and count your many blessings. You're going to pause and you're going to begin to say, man, what are you thankful for this year? What are you thankful for? And you're going to start talking about the things that you're thankful for, and as well you should. Well, today, that's what we want to do. Before we go to our table on Thursday, today we want to stop and thank God for all that he's doing here at Life Point Church. And the first thing we want to do, and we would be remiss if we didn't, was to thank him for the most important, the most valuable thing he has done for those of you who believe in him. And that is his sacrifice. I mean, isn't that the greatest thing? I mean, man, I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for my church. I'm grateful for my friends. I'm thankful for my wife and my kids. And man, I'm thankful for all that God's done. But over everything, I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And he wants us to always be thankful for that. That's why he set up this memorial meal called the Lord's Supper or communion. Did you know that the word thanks in the New Testament is the Greek word eucharista? It's Eucharist, where we get Eucharist, and it's the Lord's Supper or it's communion, and it's the word thanks. So Jesus, before he was crucified, he was meeting in an upper room celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And there was things on that table that reminded them of what God had done in bringing them out of slavery. There was bitter herbs that reminded them of their bitterness and slavery. And man, there was the roasted lamb that reminded them of the lamb that they slew and that they put its blood on the door frames and all that kind of stuff. And it reminded them to think back and say, man, thank you, God, for bringing us out of Egypt. That night, Jesus said, man, there's going to be a greater deliverance from a greater slavery. Tomorrow, he was going to die and deliver those who believe in him from the slavery of sin. And he set up a memorial. He set up a memorial that night. And Paul called it the cup of blessing. And it's a time to come. And it's a time when he set up so that we would always remember to repent of our sin, always remember to share the gospel, and always remember to give thanks for his sacrifice. To give thanks for his amazing sacrifice. And several times before Jesus passed out that cup and that bread, he gave thanks. And so we as Christians should come to this table before we go to our table on Thursday. Let's go to Jesus' table today. Before we go to our table and thank him for our job, let's go to Jesus' table and thank him for our salvation provided by his sacrifice for all those who believe. Paul called it the cup of blessing in 1 Corinthians. He said, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. It's a cup of blessing. Let's give thanks for that. In Mark chapter 14, we're told about that night. It says this, and as they were eating, he took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. When you came in this morning, you received one of these. It's a little cup, and it's got a little piece of bread in one end of it and a cup of juice in the other end of it. If you did not receive that, if you are a believer, this is for believers. If you are a believer and you did not receive one, if you will raise your hand high, we want to make sure you have one of these so that we can remember that sacrifice, so that we can thank God for his sacrifice that provides our salvation. Over everything, before everything, that's what we're thankful for. And so right now, as our ushers are passing these out to make sure everyone who's a believer has one, right now, I just would like for you to bow your head. And he established this so that we do a few things. One is to repent of our sin. So right now, would you examine yourself? And if there's any sin that's unconfessed in your life, would you repent of that right now? Confess it and repent right now. Would you do that? Would you right now ask God to help you proclaim the gospel until he comes? That's what he said. Help you to proclaim the gospel. Would you ask him to do that, to remember to proclaim the gospel until he comes? Right now, begin to thank him for his sacrifice that provides salvation. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. You are awesome. You are amazing. And Jesus, our salvation is 100% grace. There's no effort on my part. God, it was all grace. Thank you for saving me with your death. Thank you for making it possible to save all those who believe with your death, that we could never die to pay for anything, God, because of our sin. But you lived a perfect life. Thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was shed so that we can have life. At this Thanksgiving season, above all, we want to thank you for your sacrifice and live in light of that. In Jesus' name, amen. That night, he took that bread and he broke that bread. And if you will, would you open the top of that cup with the bread? Take that little piece of bread out. It's just a little piece. It's a reminder. And that night, he took that bread and he broke that bread and he said, take and eat, this is my body. And he was talking about his body that would be broken for you. And church, right now, would you eat and remember? Take and eat and remember. Then after the bread, he blessed the wine, gave thanks for the wine. We use juice here in case anyone has any issues. It's juice. But he blessed that wine. He thanked God for that wine. He passed it around and said, this is my blood. It was a symbol of his blood that would be shed. Leviticus says life is in the blood. It was a symbol of his life that was given. He passed it around and said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. If you're a believer, drink and remember his blood that was spilled for you. I hope as we kicked off the Thanksgiving season today, the first day of the week of Thanksgiving season, the thing that's above everything is Jesus' sacrifice in the mind of the believer. We thank God for that. And right now, church, I want to ask you to stand, and I want to ask you to repeat with me the 100th Psalm. It is a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. And I want us to say it together. And I would like for us to declare it like we mean it, all right? I know you mean it. And so let's declare the 100th Psalm together with passion, all right? And so it's gonna pop up on the screen and let's declare it together. You ready? Here we go. Make joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. Let's thank him, Lord. Church, let's praise him together.
enter his courts with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. If it wasn't for the cross, we would all be dead. But we now have life in Jesus. Hallelujah. I would be hopeless.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness. If it wasn't for the cross, you have won me with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Oh,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah for the cross. Thank you, Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? Go ahead and grab a seat for just a moment. You know, as we continue our Thanksgiving mindset, our Thanksgiving theme, I want to thank you for your generosity. You know, one of the reasons Thanksgiving is such a theme in the Bible is because it reminds us of the generosity of God, how much God has given to us. It reminds us that everything that we have comes from God. Everything that we have belongs to God. It reminds me that my job was given to me. If you've got a job, that job was given to you by God. If you have a family, that family was given to you by God. If you have a home, your car, the blood in your veins and the air in your lungs, nothing you have did you get simply by your own bootstrap, pulling yourself by your bootstraps. Everything comes from God and everything belongs to God. And if you have it, it's because God generously gave it to you. And so we want to thank God for his generosity, which leads to our generosity, because you see, God didn't give us all of the stuff that he has given us to make us look good, but to make him look good. He didn't give us all that he has given us for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. In the Old Testament, we see Abraham. Abraham didn't believe in God. He was a Mesopotamian idol worshiper. He was worshiping idols, and God found him, if you're a believer, just like he found you. And he saved him, and he redeemed him, and this is where Israel began, right? Israel wasn't even a nation yet. And he saved Abraham, and he said, I'm going to, through you, bless the world. Look at what he says in Genesis 12:2. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. Man, most of us say, all right, just say that a bit about me, Lord, and stop there, right? I want you to bless me and make my name great. But that's not where it stops. He says, I will bless you and make your name great. Why? So that you will be a blessing. Abraham was not blessed just because of what he had. He was blessed because of what he did with what he had. He was blessed to be a blessing. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, Paul said, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Whatever you had, God gave you to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Now, folks, here's what we need to understand from the scripture. God's the blesser. We're blessed to be a blessing. God's the blesser. We're blessed to be a blessing. And so today, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to come before you today and preach a tithing message and challenge you to tithe and challenge you to give. I've done that before, and you know, I'm not going to do that. Here's what I want to do. I simply want to pause and thank you for being faithful and generous church who does tithe and give. Man, I want to celebrate you rather than saying, man, we need to give more. I want to celebrate what you give. I want to go and thank God for you and your generosity. And let me help you to understand some things that we need to thank God for because of your generosity. You know, the last 2 years have been really crazy, haven't they? I mean, man, you had COVID that hit us with this, man, with a left hook out of nowhere. And man, and you had the social, racial division. That's just, I mean, if COVID was a left hook, the racial division, our world was like a knockout punch. And I'm like, to be honest with you, last March or so, when we said, man, we got to close down the church for a while because, man, we don't know what this thing is. It's crazy. And everybody closed down their church. And I sort of went into a little vapor lock, okay? I mean, our staff can tell you, man, we met and met and met, and we pulled together with our elders and our senior team. We're like, man, we got to make plans on all this because we don't know what's going to happen. And I trust the Lord, but man, I was in my flesh. I was really nervous. Are people going to return? Are they going to continue to give so that we can continue to share the gospel? Because right now the world's broke. We've got the answer, and the answer is Jesus. That's what's going to fix our broke world. So we can't let off the pedal now. Are they going to continue to give? And in the midst of COVID, when there's so much uncertainty in the midst of all the racial division that was going on in our world and social injustice, all that kind of stuff, in the midst of all that, let me tell you what happened in 2020, last year. When it started and there's all this uncertainty, you were so generous that we ended the year at 102.5% of our budget. We didn't just meet it, we exceeded it, okay? That's glory to God. Now, it gets even better, folks, because we're getting ready to close out 2021. And 2021, with all this stuff still happening, in 2021, we have just about, what, 6 more weeks left in this year. And a natty, that's what I call Nathaniel Hale, my financial guy, that's what most people call him, my executive pastor for finances. Here's what he tells me. He's projecting that we'll close out 2021, get this, folks, 112.5% of our budget. Is that not amazing? I mean, praise God for his faithfulness through his people. Thank you, church, for being generous. Last year, I asked you, I challenged you at this time last year. We take up a one-day offering. We'll talk about that later. And I said, here's what we want to do. We want to raise $1 million over the next 4 years. $1 million over the next 4 years for church planting and missions. So will you give $1 million over the next 4 years? We made you that challenge in November of last year. 1 year later, I come to say, man, we'd be praising the Lord that we're at $250,000, 25% of our goal because we're right on target, right? But instead, I'm coming to you today saying that we are a half a million in, a half of our goal because of your generosity, on top of meeting our budget at 112%. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, church, for being generous. God, thank you for being faithful through your people. You know, God has blessed us, and we have these campuses, and God blessed us with a building and 82 acres over on Almaville Road. It's our Stewart's Creek campus, and it's a blessing, but it was needed a little TLC or maybe a lot of TLC, and so we had to put $1 million in it. God blessed us with a building down at Riverdale for our Riverdale campus and 10 acres, and it was a blessing, and it was awesome, but it needed some TLC, maybe a lot of TLC. We had to put about $1 million in it. We built this building over here 23 years ago in 1998, and we had to completely remodel it to give our kids more space and all that, and we did that. And we did that last year, and we put $2.5 million. So in the last few years, on top of all this, that was $4.5 million. And guess what? We were able to do that 100% cash without borrowing any money because of your generosity. Is that not amazing? Church, that's awesome. And I just want to celebrate God. I celebrate God, and I celebrate God being faithful to his people, so I celebrate you. Church, thank you for your generosity, but that's not the greatest part. Let me tell you the greatest part. Here's the thing that just absolutely just lights my fire, all right? That, I mean, has me, you know, shouting and dancing and everything else, and you ought to see that, right? I mean, here's the deal. We built that building right over there 23 years ago, and then we built this building in 2004 that's connected by that long concourse hallway. And both of those buildings together 23 years ago, in the last 23 years, both of those buildings cost about $13 to $14 million. Now, when you throw in everything else that we've done with our campuses, that's almost, if you think about it, about $1 million a year. But we had to borrow some money, and we've been paying on that money. And you know how much that money's been? That money has been $400,000 a year that we've been paying in debt retirement, so that we can have the buildings, so that we can provide resources in the buildings for people to come. And we were not scheduled to pay that off until later in several years, a few years from now, right? And about a week ago, Nathaniel came and handed me this little piece of paper, and this is the note for all that loan. And he handed it to me, and it's, I don't know if you can see it, but it's stamped on it, paid and satisfied. Folks, we're debt-free. 100% debt-free, all right? And so this thing right here, it's done. That's like $400,000 a year that goes straight to ministry. Praise God, church. Praise the Lord. I mean, amen. Church, thank you. Thank you for being generous. Man, thank you for being generous. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for following the Lord and for obeying his command to tithe. And listen, because of your generosity, let me help you to understand what that is. We can celebrate, oh, the building, that's not it. Here's what we celebrate. Because of your generosity, let me make sure you understand. Because of your generosity, marriages have been restored. I can bring them up to you. Souls have been saved. People have been called to the mission field. Missionaries have been able to stay on the mission field. Churches have been planted. Kids' heads have been filled with the knowledge of God that helps them combat the toxic philosophies that they're getting in the world today. Because of your generosity, much land has been taken. But folks, let me make sure you understand, there's still much land to be taken. And that means we don't want to let our foot off the gas. We want to push it down faster because the time is short. The mission is urgent, and we want to take more land for the gospel. So don't back off. Don't slow down. Let's go further. Thank you, church, for your generosity. Let's continue. I want us to stand right now, and I want us to praise God for what he's doing. Give glory to God, not to us, but to God. Let's give glory that he's made us debt-free so that we can now pour even more into ministry, starting churches, and seeing souls saved. Let's praise him, church, can we?
Our praise to be a weapon this morning as we continue to take new ground. We put our hands together in praise as we sing today. Let's put our hands together. Come on. Let's put our hands together. Come on, church. Come on, put them together. We're coming into a celebration now. Yeah. Let praise be with us. So let praise be with us. Let silence is the enemy. Come on. So let praise be with us. Let conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark. So we sing your name in the dark, and it changes everything. We sing with all we are, and we claim your victory. Let it rise, oh, let praise arise. Come on, we'll see you break through. We'll see you break through every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Still can I survive when we praise you? The God of breakthroughs on our side.
Freedom, this is my heaven. Yeah, we join with the voices in heaven. Come on, we sing. This is what living looks like.
This is what freedom feels like.
This is what freedom feels like.
This is what heaven sounds like.
We pray. Come on, we pray.
Church, man, we have seen the giants fall, and Man, we've seen God break through, and man, we praise Him for what He's doing. And you know, in the early 2000s, man, we were growing after we had built that building, and we were growing, and man, we thought we gotta have some more room here. We gotta have some more space. And so I put a committee of people together, and we began to plan what we're gonna build next. And man, we had a youth building, and we had plans for maybe a children's building, for an office building that would give us more space. They were all great. But the one thing that didn't happen was the Lord didn't release us to build. And so, man, we just hit it on pause for a moment. And then in 2008, we joined together and we just began to fast and pray, not asking if we should build or not, just saying, God, we want to be a part of what you're doing. Show us what you're doing, where you're working, because we want to be a part of it. And through that time of prayer and fasting in 2008, God said, I don't want you to build, I want you to send. I don't want you just to build more buildings on this acreage. I want you to send people out to start churches and campuses all around. And so we launched about 250 people out of here, giving us room here in 2009 to start our Stewart's Creek campus when we were given that building. And today, that campus this morning they're worshiping, and they have to have three services because they can't fit everybody in. God is just doing so much amazing stuff in that campus, and so we're thankful for that. Then God said, hey, I don't want it to just be Middle Tennessee. Remember, we're talking about the nations. My kingdom is full of people from every tribe, every nation, every language, and every people, right? And so this is about the nations. I want you to start campuses around the world. And so in 2009, God led us to start campuses in Brussels and in Bangkok. And we sent teams in 2010, and they got their bearings, and they launched the very first services on Christmas Eve in 2011, making this the 10-year anniversary of our international campuses. And so we want to celebrate and thank God for that today. And folks, I want you to know what God is doing in those campuses. We've had to move our Brussels campus into this. We're in our third different building because we outgrew every one of those buildings. And now in Bangkok, we're at capacity, and we're having to look for another building in Bangkok or right now as we speak because of what God's doing. God is saving souls as the gospel is preached, and marriages are being reconciled. And I want you to, you can hear that from me, but I want you to hear it from someone. I can show many videos, but I want to show you a video as we thank God for what He's doing of a guy named Milan. Milan came to know the Lord through our LifePoint Brussels campus, and I just want you to see this video so that you can begin and continue to praise God for what He's doing. So watch Milan's video.
My name is Milan. I am from Belgium, and I grew up as an atheist. All my friends and my family were atheists as well. In Belgium, we believe, or most people believe, that religion is irrational and that it contradicts with science. And that is what I was taught in school as well. So my friends and I, we lived for pleasure. We came together every weekend. We made music. Most of them were musicians. We drank a lot. Afterwards, we would go to a bar, get drunk, and we would repeat that every weekend. So after 9 years, I found myself addicted to alcohol. I was a heavy drinker, and that was the time that I met my wife. It was in 2018, and she was the first person that pointed me towards evidences for the Christian faith. So that started me on a journey of reading a lot, thinking, discussing, asking questions, looking for answers. And at the time, she attended LifePoint Church in Brussels. So she took me along, and it was very different from my picture of the church. Because in Belgium, if we think about Christianity, we think about the Catholic Church. And for me, that meant old people, monotone music, old-fashioned messages, old-fashioned ideas. But when I came to LifePoint, I saw that the majority of the people were young, my age, or like in the 30s. The message was relevant to my life, and there was a band playing. So it was very different and very attractive. After the service, a lot of people would come to me and wanted to talk to me, which was really cool. You could sense that they had something different. They were loving God, loving the people around them, and loving me. They didn't know me, but they wanted to spend their time talking with me and get to know me. So I love discussing their faith with them. And after a year and a half of reading, discussing, like going to church, discussing with Christians, I decided that I had to make a decision, a final decision, because I was telling my wife that I didn't want to marry her until I knew that if Christianity was true or not, because I didn't want to marry someone who believed in a lie. But through my journey of a year and a half reading reasons and arguments for Christianity, I actually already knew that it was true, but I didn't want it to be true. So I told my wife I had to be alone to make that decision, and I booked an Airbnb. So I went there with a suitcase with all my books that I've read. And I remember coming into the room, throwing my suitcase in the corner, and just go straight to the bar, start drinking again. I indulged in my sinful habits. And the next day I called in sick to work so I could do it all over again. And I did. So I found myself lying to my boss, to my colleagues, to my friends, and to my wife, because she was proud of me for like wanting to take this final step of making the decision. But I wasn't doing what I promised her. So I remember sitting on the bedside in my room and like thinking, feeling guilty and thinking, I'm not a good person. I can't do this on my own. I don't know how I should live life in a good way. So at that point, I asked Jesus in my life, and I started following him. So the week after that, we were engaged. That was when COVID started happening too. So the churches got closed, but we were blessed with weekly services online, which was very good because I was a new Christian and I needed to hear the message like every week. I asked Pastor Luis to do our wedding. He felt honored and he asked me if he should do like marriage counseling too, which was very good to really understand the meaning of marriage. So in that summer, 2020 is last summer, things started opening up. We were able to do our wedding. The church opened up again. So I got baptized too. I started serving in the church. And we also did like a weekly small group with Pastor Ray. And we got to know Pastor Jordan a little bit better. So during the time I was thinking, okay, if there's a God, and if he revealed himself in the Bible, I want to know what the Bible says. I want to understand it better. I want to study it. So that's why I'm now in Waukesha, in Wisconsin, in the Bible College, to study for 2 years the Bible. And I know that we want to do something with the gospel. We want to do something with the Word of God. But we are excited to where God will be leading us and what God's plan is for us.
You know, with a shirt like that, Milan's either from Europe or Hollywood, right? I mean, doesn't that bless your heart? I mean, folks, does that not bless your heart? That is one of many, many stories. Milan is now, and his wife are in Wisconsin in Bible college. And man, I don't know what God's going to do with them back in Europe with the gospel. We're going to be with them every step of the way. Church, that is something that we thank God for. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your vision to make those things happen so that you could join God on his mission so people like Milan could be saved. And that's just one of many. I can show you videos of prostitutes in Bangkok that have been saved. One of the biggest drug dealers in Bangkok that's saved just recently in our Bangkok campus. I mean, God is doing stuff. I am so thankful for what God is doing. He led us then to plant our Riverdale campus, and Riverdale today is meeting in two services full down in Murfreesboro across from Riverdale High School. Then in February of this year, right in the middle of COVID, who plants a church in the middle of COVID, right? It's not human wisdom, but we launched our Arrington campus in February, and today they are at capacity. They're full, and the people that we've reached, we sent about 40 people over to start that. We sent about 250 to start Riverdale. We sent about 250 out to start our Stewart's Creek campus. We sent about 40 over to start Arrington. And just with the people that we've reached since we've been there, since February, the people that we've reached, not counting the people that went over there and their tithes and their gifts, just the people that we've reached and the new people and the new gifts and tithes, they are now self-sufficient at Arrington because of the new people we've reached. God is doing some great things, folks, and I am so thankful that as we see in Scripture, Paul was passionate about church planting so the gospel would go out and so people would be saved. And LifePoint, I am so thankful that God is allowing us the privilege of being a part of something so much bigger than we are, so much bigger than us. You're a part of something. It's not about these walls and what's in here. It's about coming in here to worship and then being to gathering to worship and being scattered for the gospel all over the world. Thank you, LifePoint, for believing in that and for being generous to that, for sending, for praying, and for being involved and partnering with God in his mission. I'm thankful for our campuses and what God is doing, and I hope that you are as well, and I know that you are. And one final thing that I want to thank God for is the diversity that's here. Man, we value diversity. That's why I want to thank God for it today. Listen, folks, our world's hurting. Our world's broke. Our world is broke, and sadly that the answers that are being offered by sociologists and philosophers are coming from human wisdom, and that's not going to provide the answers that's going to solve the problems of our world. Human wisdom is going to make it worse. We know that it's not gotten better. We know that it's gotten worse, and human wisdom will always make it worse. We know what the real problem is. You see, the problem is not legislation. The problem is not education. The problem is not money. That's not the real. So more of those things, more legislation is not going to solve the problem. More political correctness is not going to solve the problem. That doesn't change the heart. More money is not going to solve the problem. Even more education, it makes you smarter, but it doesn't change your heart. Those things are not the answer because those things are not the problem. The problem is sin and the answer is Jesus. We've got the answer, folks. We've got the answer. That's why I am so thankful to God for the diversity that he's bringing to this church. You know, in Matthew and Mark both, Jesus' disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They saw Jesus pray. And they had been praying people all their life. They had prayed, you know, as Jewish boy, they'd prayed their Jewish boy prayers, which was repetition. But they saw Jesus pray, and it was different. It had power. And they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And we know in Matthew 6, 9 through 10, here's how he started out. I won't do the whole thing, but he said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, God, you're holy. And look at what he says. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the thing about God's kingdom. There's two aspects to God's kingdom. It's now and it's not yet. It's now and it's not yet. It's not yet in the fact that the not yet aspect of God's kingdom is that perfect place that we talked about in our study of Revelation. That his not yet kingdom is full of people. Matter of fact, John in Revelation gave us a glimpse of it. Let me read it for you. It's in Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and by your blood you ransomed people from God. For God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. God's future kingdom in heaven is full of people from every tribe, nation, people, and language. It's not monochromatic. It's a kaleidoscope of people, right? It's white and it's black and it's red and it's yellow and it's tan and every color you can imagine under the skin. And here's the beautiful thing about his future kingdom in heaven is there is literally no division whatsoever. There's no hate. There's no division. There's no, dividing up. There's none of that, but there's no racism because there's no sin. There's no sin. It's taken away. It's beautiful and it's perfect. And that's how we'll live together in perfect harmony. And so here's how Jesus said, pray. His not yet kingdom comes now. And what is his now kingdom? Well, his now kingdom is obviously not what we just described because there's too much sin, which creates too much division. But his kingdom come, his will be done. And so if we pray for his kingdom come, we know what his future kingdom is. So we pray that it comes now, right? And we be kingdom bringers. We bring God's kingdom. And how do we do that? By showing the world what the answer is. By showing the world, we don't have to divide up. By showing the world, man, we are together, that the gospel of Christ unites us. And so I'm so thankful that we have the answer. And I'm so thankful that the world can look in and see a reflection of that in this church. And it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. And folks, it blesses my heart. And it's a value to us at Life Point. It's a value to us at Life Point not to show division as Martin Luther King, because quite honestly, Martin Luther King, he would roll over in his grave today at some of the answers that are being proposed. And he said himself that Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour of the week. That's not our heart. We want to see a multicolor, multi-ethnic, multicultural church because it represents a multicolor, multi-ethnic, multicultural kingdom that's perfect in the future. The church should reflect the community. Thank God that this church is reflecting the community. It blesses my heart, and I see it, and I want you to see it. And so we just did a little video of people who are thankful for Life Point, and what you're going to see in this, and we couldn't get everybody in, what you're going to see in this is you're going to see Jamaican and Colombian and Puerto Rican, and you're going to see Black, and you're going to see White, and you're going to begin to see some of the diversity of the people that's here, and I just want you to see this, and I hope it blesses your heart as you begin to, it plants a vision of this is a diversity, and this is a value, and I hope that you thank God for what he's doing, because we're a part of the problem right now that is absolutely destroying our world, and we've got the answer. And I want you to see this video and just begin to thank God for what he's making this church.
We just want to express our love and appreciation to our church and everything that God is doing in our lives and in our church. From the moment we walked into Life Point Church, we felt the love and the appreciation of the acceptance of the people.
I am very thankful for Life Point Church. I've been here for 20 years. I've walked through a lot of seasons in my life, from divorce to cancer, and I'm so thankful for how this church has carried me and my family through each one of those challenges.
There are times where we have visited church in the past and we felt like we are outcasts because, you know, there's no one there to give us that warm welcome.
We have always felt very welcomed and loved and wanted there, which is really important to us.
Walking up to the front of the church the very first time we came to visit and seeing people actually smile and greeting us, welcoming us to come in. And when we left, you know, have a great week. You know, when I look back, growing up and going to different churches and visiting, even my home church, that was one thing that was missing, to be honest. To have that be the, you know, what, how we were welcomed that first day, I knew this was the place to be. I told my husband, this is it. This is the place to be. When we got in worship, hands are raised, music just touched our soul. This was the place we needed to be. We found home.
We are so thankful for Life Point because of the way they teach verse by verse. There is no skipping over anything. And because of that, it's opened up conversations that we can have with our kids. And that has been such a gift for us to be able to meet hard things in different ways, ways that we would not have if it weren't for Life Point.
Many years ago when I started coming to Life Point, probably 16, 17 years ago, this church was so different then. There was people that would kind of stare, look at you when you walk down the hallway. But now, 16 years later, a lot of those same people, when they see me, are the same people that come up and hug me. Thankful that I'm here, want to know how I'm doing, what's going on in my life. And for me, that brings me so much joy.
This is a church that is so deeply and so sound in doctrine. It just started bringing conviction to my life. It started to feeling the call. You know, I was saved at the time, but I was not baptized. So I started feeling the call. And after talking to my pastor, we realized and made the decision that I needed to go ahead and get baptized. And after I made that decision, a decision that I will never regret, it's just such a blessing how a church encourage the community and their members to be obedient to the word of God and to take these steps. I can testify that change in my life, how much the Lord helped me to grow to be that man, the husband and the Christian father that the Lord called us to be.
The living scent is not necessarily going somewhere else or somewhere else in the world to do that, but doing it here and through the deacon ministry, I've been able to do that. As you know, now I'm the deacon coordinator at the Riverdale campus, and just being able to love people and build those relationships, and it's been a blessing to our family.
So we kind of talked, and I was like, hey, let's go back again. Let's kind of see what's going on every Sunday.
I'm thankful for how this church has helped me to grow through Abide and how they've helped me to find my passion to help other women and to lift others up.
We love how Life Point is just a gospel-centered church, a church that loves the nations, a church that seeks the lost and leaves sin for the sake of the gospel.
The singing and just worshiping God and just everybody enjoying it.
I think that the focus on the kids' futures and teaching them how to study the Word of God, I think, is very important to us.
I feel that I get equipped. I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to work alongside of men and women each and every day that love the Lord.
Each week we go, we feel like we walk away with something. Mm-hmm. You know, we have learned something.
We have all the tools we need here to live sent, to tell people what it took for us, what we've experienced, what our children are getting, what we're getting as a married couple.
We are so thankful for our pastors, our leaders, and everything they're doing in their community.
I'm thankful for Life Point.
We praise God for the place that is Life Point.
You know, they say, hey, you know, we can see the change in you guys. What are you guys doing? I say, we getting the word, we getting fed.
We are better able to honor God and worship God in the way that we are meant to do it.
Thank you, Life Point. Thank you for being who you are.
Man, I hope that blesses your heart. Is that not awesome? Thank you, Life Point. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for having vision for the world, and thank you for having a passion for diversity, because we have the answer to what hurts the world right now. And living that out is going to make a bigger difference than anything that's done in Washington, D.C., I promise you. And so let's keep doing those things, church. And now we have thanked God for what he did on that day when he died on the cross, when he sent his son and Jesus died on the cross. We thanked God for that. That day, we thank God for what he's doing in this day. And right now, we want to close it out by thanking God for that one day. For that one day, what he's going to do on that one day. You know, that one day we studied about in the book of Revelation, when he's going to return. We just finished out Revelation by looking at that day that he's going to return. He's going to split the eastern sky, and he's going to come, and all those who are there with him are going to come with him, and those of us who are still here are going to be caught up with them in the air. And we're going to go, and we're going to spend all of eternity in that future kingdom that will no longer be future, but it will be now, and it will be perfect, and there'll be no more dying, and no more death, and there'll be no more pain, and no more cancer. There'll be no more diabetes and no more divorce, no more rebellious kids. There'll be no more racism. There'll be nothing but perfect harmony, because Jesus will be there and sin will not. And it will be the most awesome day you've ever imagined. And you know what we want to do? We want to take as many people with us on that one day as we possibly can. You see, we want to take your kids with us, your grandkids that are not even born yet. We want to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel so that they can go with us. We want to take your mom and your dad that's not a believer. We want to make sure they hear the gospel so that they can go with us. We want to plant more churches all over the world. We want to plant churches here in Middle Tennessee. We want to plant more churches all over the world so that people from every nation, language, people from every tribe can hear the gospel, and so that they can be there with us celebrating on that one day. And so, church, man, we challenge you to keep on. We thank you for what you're doing, because you're making a huge difference. But we challenge you to think back and thank God for that one day and for this day, and to look forward to that one day and let it motivate us to be the most important thing in our life. The thing that drives our life is that the gospel of Jesus goes out so that people can be with us on that one day. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to watch a video that's going to hopefully inspire you about that one day. And what we do every year at this time is we ask you to give to our one day offering. That's above your tithes. And our one day offering, 100% of it, goes to missions and to church planting. It's how we started our Arrington campus through your one day offering. It's how Riverdale, it's how Bangkok and Brussels have survived. It's how we feed hungry. It's what we do for missions here and around the world. And we ask you every year, will you please give during Christmas to our one day offering? The goal is so that we take as many people with us on that one day. Last year we said let's raise $1 million through one day over the next 4 years. As I've already said, as we've already thanked God, you gave $500,000 in one. Man, let's blow that goal out. Let's meet that goal this year, and then let's have a higher goal so that more people can hear the gospel and more people can be saved. And so we ask you to begin thinking about what you'll give to our one day offering, and we're going to collect it on December the 12th, Sunday. Now, man, we'll take it today if you give it, all right? We ain't going to ever turn it down. You can give it at any time. Actually, some people, they give all year. They say what they're going to give, and they give monthly. You can do it like that. But we just set aside the 12th to say, that's a collection day. We're going to drive a stake in the ground. So be prepared. Talk to your family. Celebrate what God has given you, what you can give above your tithe to our one-day offering so more people can hear the gospel and go with us on that one day. What will you give? Watch this video. And then after that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate baptisms. Now, we're going to baptize some folks, but we're going to show you video of the people that we've baptized just in the last few months here at LifePoint. So when you see the video rolling of the baptisms, those have just been baptized in the last few months. And so we'll praise God for that. And then we'll baptize other folks during this time. And so it's going to be a time of celebration as you see that these people, that on that one day, they'll be with us. Who else will be with us? Let's give so that many people can be with us on that one day. So watch this video and then be praying about what you can give, and then we'll celebrate together.
Have you ever thought about that one day? The one day where heaven and earth will be made new. The one day when our longing for home will be met as God makes his dwelling place with his people. He will come down out of heaven, and we will be waiting as a bride prepared and adorned for her husband, waiting anxiously to be made one, together for the one we were created for. He will dwell with us, and we will dwell with him one day.
One day, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. No more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. One day, the former things will have passed away.
One day, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will finish what he started. He will make right what is wrong, fulfill his word, and make whole what is broken.
One day, a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, will stand before the throne and before the Lamb and cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."
There will be no temple, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city will have no need for a sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God will be its light, and its lamp will be the Lamb.
But here we are today, in this moment. While we still have breath in our lungs,
we must fight
against the enemy's lie
that our lives are ours to live in any way we want.
No, we must live as God's people.
You see, one day is not just a dream of what might be. It's our future guarantee, and it should change our current reality.
God didn't send us apart to just attend church once a week, or call this church to die to ourselves and to live sin together on one mission, to make Jesus known to every nation, to every tribe, and to every language. Somos parte de una iglesia que Dios ha construido día a día en preparación para ese día.
Together, we have planted churches, seen salvation, celebrated baptism. We have fasted and we have prayed. And God has led us to go into our community, into our homes, and into the world.
We've shared the gospel with the young and the old, the nearby and the far off, in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces.
Our community has been changed because of a commitment to believe the right things, love the right way, and do whatever it takes for people to find life.
The gospel has been shared in Espanol, Inglés,
French, Thai,
Japanese, Portuguese.
The hurting have found hope. The weary have found rest. The addicts have been set free, and the lost have been found. We have preached and sung and broadcast the gospel faithfully over platforms that have given us global reach and gospel influence.
One day at a time, God continues to give us a vision of how that one day, change every day.
Every day.
It should change every day.
Living faithfully, giving graciously, and going willingly.
I can't wait for this one day.
The thought of this one day gives me hope. But I don't want one day for myself.
I don't want one day for myself.
I want it for my wife, kids.
I want it for my husband, and friends, and family, and people who have no hope.
You see, one day, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more.
Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore.
For the former things will have passed away.
So until that one day when we join him,
we enjoy him.
Finding life and living sent.
Until that one day when we are one with God.
One day.
So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven, with angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar, glory to our God, who gives life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord, so let it be today, we shout the we raise the night.
deserve the glory.
Let's sing that together. You deserve.
We sing, you deserve the glory.
Come on. You deserve.
We know that you deserve. Yeah, God, you deserve the glory.
One more time.
You deserve the glory.
And on that day, we join the resurrection. We'll stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. And on that day, join the resurrection. Stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Let's sing, worthy is the Lamb. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. On that day, and on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. And with one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, forever he shall reign.
Yeah.
Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, that He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered hell. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back again. We believe.
Let the lost
Yes, we do. Have a great week, Lifepoint. We love you. Live standard.